Over the last 5 years, I've been trying to take my background and apply it to identifying the three independent networks that Al-Qaeda used, and more particularly, and this has happened over the last 2 weeks, the center that coordinated those three networks and helped pull off the entire plot. So I think those are where my forensic economic skills, if you will, and I guess Osama bin Laden's challenge to us all. What are the three networks that he used, and how is it coordinated?
And I think what is so important here, David, is because just watching this ABC special over the last couple nights, as they were dramatizing Ramzi Youssef, and as I've also talked with a former ABC reporter, Peter Lentz, who's done a great job tracking that as well, Youssef used to say, I can take these buildings down, but I need explosives and I need money. Without the money, none of this would have happened, would it?
You're absolutely right. And those three networks, immediately I heard or I saw the quotation for Osama bin Laden, I said, well, what three networks would there be that all the resources of the British and the Americans could stop? So I'm starting to think, well, they're not primarily in the English language. They might be French or Arabic, but what kinds of networks would they be? Well, I think one of them, as you've just implied, would be a financial intelligence network. How do you move the huge amounts of money, and how do you exploit the great opportunity, for example, when the New York stock market closed down for 4 days? The second network, I think, George, would be an electronic intelligence network, characteristic of any major battlefield or military mission where command, control, communications, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance have to be brought together. And the third, and perhaps the most important network, is the human intelligence network. You can't just place explosives in buildings and fire them off and expect the building to come down in a planned way. As I think you mentioned earlier, there were three towers that came down on September the 11th. One and two, well, that was a spectacular shock stuff. But building number three came down at 5:20 p.m. in its own footprint. But very interestingly, down in the debris pile of Ground Zero, the hot spot scatter of molten steel that was still burning months after 9/11,
right.
From a thermodynamic point of view, and that really talks about the level of disorder, exactly the same kind of thermodynamic signature in building number seven as in buildings one and two. So what I, as an applied mathematician or thermodynamicist, would say is, whatever it was brought down seven, and remember that wasn't a plane because no plane ever hit building, must have been added to the impact of the plane and the jet fuel fires to buildings one and two, because there was the same distribution of molten steel in the debris piles.
There was a quote attributed to Larry Silverstein, who is the property owner of the World Trade Center, who got a lot of insurance money, David, because of this. And he was overheard saying, you know, we had to pull it. We had to pull it, basically. And anybody in the demolition business knows that that means bring the building down. And I think that's one of the quotes that has had so many people who believe in an alternative reason for 9/11 have cited as the possibilities in this entire field. Would you agree?
Yes, and that's very interesting because in building number seven, I believe we have the germ of the coordination of the three networks mentioned by Osama bin Laden. Most people believe that Larry Silverstein was the owner of the property. In fact, in buildings towers one and two, what he'd actually done is he had got a mortgage for a 99-year lease from the Port Authority of New Jersey and New York. And he put in a minority of the money. The bulk of the money that went into towers one and two came through a mortgage broker called General Motors Acceptance Corporation, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of General Motors. And sitting behind that, and this is totally fascinating, I think, is, I believe, the world's largest private pension fund, which is the Teachers National Pension Fund, TIAACREF, which actually handles the pension fund investments of 3 million members, senior faculty members, and college employees right across the United States, including the American University of Beirut and Cairo, and I might come back to that, but quite extraordinary. The owners of the mortgage on building number seven up to October 2000 was the Teachers National Pension Fund, and they sold it to Blackstone Group, that they retained through their private equity arm an insured interest in building number 7. And when Larry Silverstein said he pulled it, I think what he's really saying is the people who owned the mortgage on building number 7 ordered the firefighters or the demolition experts on the contractor working on that building, a British company called AMEC, they were ordered to pull it in order to collect the insurance. And subsequently they collected $861 million of insurance, and that was shared amongst the teachers, National Pension Fund, private equity group.
Now, for the building to go down, for it to be pulled, for explosives to be placed in it, and let's talk primarily about Building 7, at least for this moment. I mean, they could have done it at that moment. It had to have been there from the get-go.
Well, I am an expert in explosives, and I built a lot of improvised explosive devices during my career in the oil industry, so I know a little of this subject, but I've been thinking long and hard about the alleged demolition of the three towers, because the firefighters, before the aerial of the Motorola analog radios they were equipped with was, I believe, sabotaged, they were calling in and saying, I understand, in the South Tower, we've got two small fires burning. Remember, there's black smoke. It's under control.
Right.
So, the demolitions, if that's what they were, from the points of impact or just below the points of impact in towers 1 and 2, was a wave traveling downwards. And that can be contrasted with building number 7, which was a bottom-up demolition. So if they were placing charges, they had to be able to rearrange them very quickly on the fly to get a different pattern of demolition.
All right. Have there ever been any witnesses, David, that said, we saw explosive experts changing things, putting explosives in Building 7 at that time or even before that?
I can actually explain how there would be no witnesses. You see,
okay,
there were 7 underground levels to each of these buildings, Towers 1, 2, and 7. In Towers 1 and 2, there were elevator shafts that went up to the 78th floor of the Sky Lobby.
Right.
I think what they did, and this is a theory, and I can, if there was more time, I could go in a little more.
Oh, yeah, you're with me all hours,
yeah.
So you've got the time.
Yeah, I think what they did is they put either solid fuel or liquid fuel rocket motors inside the freight elevators at the underground level. They locked them off from public access so the public wouldn't have known that these were reserved exclusively for this purpose.